Hello, welcome to Locked On Sharks, the premier hockey podcast of your favorite team in the Bay Area. On today's episode, we're diving into some more trades, and these are trades I would make if I was the Sharks and tried to get some guys who may not be fits or maybe cap casualties from other teams and guys I would kind of buy low on. So all that and more on today's episode of Locked On Sharks.
You're Locked On Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm your host, J.D. Young, contributor at San Jose Hockey Now. I want to thank you for making Locked On Sharks your first listen. We are proudly a part of the Locked On Network, where we cover your team every day. And you can be an everydayer by just making sure you follow along or subscribe to wherever you get podcasts, or you can watch on YouTube as well. And today we're going to be looking at some potential trades that I would make. If I was Mike Greer, guys who either one are going to be cap casualties, or two, may not be fits going forward with the team. And all these guys I'm looking at are on one-year deals where you can either flip them at the deadline or play out this season with them and kind of go into next offseason with, you know, kind of figure out whatever you want to do with them. So we're going to look at two goalies, a forward and a defenseman in today's episode. And let's go ahead and get started with one of the goalies, and this one might be interesting. One Matt Murray. I can already hear why, JD, why? So Matt Murray played for the Toronto Maple Leafs, has 1 year left on his $4.687 million contract. The Sens are eating a small portion of it. He has a 10-team no trade clause. So that means he has 20 other teams basically that he is willing to go to. Last season, played 26 games, 903 save percentage, 301 goals against average, had 74 goals, expected goals against was 74.95. So basically his goal saved above average was one, basically. And then a 7-11 high danger save. And then looking at his kind of fancy stats, he basically played up to what the team was defensively. He was an average goaltender. And I can already hear, like, why, JD? Why would the Sharks trade for Matt Murray from the Toronto Maple Leafs? So here's my reasoning. Matt Murray is an average goaltender. The Sharks do not have an average goaltender on their roster. Just a reminder, James Reimer last season, goals saved above expected, -11.3. Kaapo Kähkönen, -24.6. Those are, I know the Sharks team was bad, et cetera, et cetera. Those numbers are not reliant on the team around him. Both those guys played under expectations. Having a goaltender who is a league average goaltender would do wonders for this team. Why would the Maple Leafs do this? The Maple Leafs are, right, we know they're going to have a new GM. It's chaos up there in Toronto. If you haven't checked Leafs Twitter recently, all things are on the table, right? Everything is chaotic over there. They don't know if Auston Matthews is going to re-sign an extension. They're going to be probably breaking up the core four. Everything's going up there. They are also a team that has, like, little to no cap space going into next season. So Cap Friendly has updated their numbers for next season. The Toronto Maple Leafs have 15 players under contract and about $9 million of space going into next year. They have some free agents that they're going to try to figure out. We know one of these core four guys might get traded, et cetera, et cetera. But looking at their goaltending, right, you have Matt Murray, Joseph Woll, and Samsonov, who is an RFA. Matt Murray kind of, we saw at the end of the season, right? We know Murray's been having trouble staying healthy, et cetera, et cetera. But he kind of got froze out, and they went to some of the other guys there in the playoffs and to the end of the season into the playoffs. And I know, again, I know Murray struggles to stay healthy, but this feels like a salary dump written all over it, to the point where the Leafs might pay the Sharks something to get rid of Matt Murray's contract. For them opening up $5 million of cap space could do wonders for this team. And I know the Leafs don't have a ton of assets going forward. They do have a first round pick in this year's draft, which is the Bruins pick. They do have a first round pick in next year's draft. And then they don't have a pick until round five. Maybe this is one of those things where maybe the Sharks sling like a third or fourth round pick and like a Noah Gregor type player, someone who's cost controlled, isn't going to be expensive. And then they get back a first in Matt Murray, his services to, you know, to help the Leafs out type of thing. So that's why. What does that do for the Sharks? So again, if you can basically say, here's Noah Gregor and a third round pick, the Canes pick this year, we'll take that Bruins pick and we'll take Matt Murray's services. You know, here's a forward who can play on your third or fourth line. Maybe a change of scenery for Noah Gregor, et cetera, et cetera. We know what Noah Gregor can do, right? I just picked Noah Gregor. Put in any one of those type of players, right? But I just picked Noah Gregor. Now for the Sharks, you have Matt Murray. Basically, three options happen. One, he plays really, really well. And then you tell him, hey, come to San Jose, rehabilitate your image. Come play in this nice, quiet market. You don't have to deal with the Toronto media. Come hang out. You get to wear shorts all year round, all that fun stuff. You're going to be probably going to be our goalie number one. I'm sure you can beat Kaapo Kähkönen. Come hang out for a year. One, he plays really well, and you can trade him at the trade deadline, right? Teams, we saw plenty of goalies get traded at this trade deadline. Again, he has a 10 team no trade clause, but he has 20 teams that he could be traded to. So, hey, come play in San Jose, rehabilitate your career. If you play well, we'll trade you. Or if you play well, we keep you. Two, he gets hurt, and then guess what? You can just play E2 Makanemi or something like that. But at least whatever. And then you just don't re-sign him. Or he plays bad, and you just work your way towards a top five pick in this year's draft, which you're probably going to be bad anyway. So those all feel like winnable things for me. So that is why Matt Murray, number one on my contracts I would trade for. Another goaltender I would look at trading for here in a second, Iku-Pekka Liikanen from the Buffalo Sabres. I'm going to talk about him in a second, but first, do need to take a quick break. Talk to you guys about our good friends over at eBay Motors. So, you guys know, for a championship team, it's all about making sure every player is the right fit. It's the same when it comes to your vehicle. Every part needs to fit just right. So the next time you need parts and accessories, head to eBay Motors with eBay Guarantee Fit. You can be sure every part you need fits right the first time around. Just add your ride to the My Garage and look for the green check to make sure that all the parts will fit or your money back. Because just like in sports, confidence is the name of the game. When you shop on eBay Motors, you're covered. With over 122 million parts to choose from, you'll be back in the game in no time. And after all, it's easy to bring home a win when the right parts are guaranteed. So get the right parts, the right fit, and the right prices on ebaymotors.com. Let's ride. eBay Guarantee Fit, only available to U.S. customers. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. All right, so we talked about Matt Murray. Adding Matt Murray. Again, I think you can get the Leafs to pay. Maybe you got to give up a little bit something, but I think you can get a nice, solid return, back for him. So, next guy, Iku-Pekka Liikanen from the Buffalo Sabres. So, 24 has 1 year left on his ELC at 837,000. And I wonder, you're saying, why would the Sabres trade for him? We'll get to that in a minute. You're going to see the numbers here. Not impressive. Not the prettiest numbers. So 33 games, he had 892 save percentage, 361 goals against average, 115 goals allowed. Expected goals against was 109.99. Goals saved above expectation was -5 and a 699 high danger save percentage. Looking at his fancy numbers, the team was bad, and so was he, especially defensively. And we know the Sharks' defense, not the most stable situation, but Lehkonen kind of played with how the team was around him. Again, Ukko-Pekka Lehkonen is 24, okay? He's played 50 games in the NHL. He hasn't had a massive workload going forward. Why would the Sabres trade him? One, Devin Levi showed up. He's their goaltender of the future. I don't expect him to be that this year, but I think that the Sabres swing big, right? You mean for a goaltender to try to kind of find a guy who can be the guy while Levi starts building up for that role. And we know the Sabres are ready to compete. They just missed the playoffs last season. And I think goaltending was a big reason for it. I mean, they were playing Craig Anderson a ton down the stretch. Craig Anderson, who's older than me. So the oldest man ever to play goalie. Again, we know, I think the Sabres are ready to compete, and I expect them to be active, very active in trying to find a 1A to Levi's 1B while Levi continues to grow and develop in the NHL. Lehkonen, I still feel there is something there. Again, he's 24. We know goalies, et cetera, et cetera. Their path to development is much different than many other players. So I would be willing to take a swing, kind of like what we did almost with the Kapokakinen, right? Take a swing on a guy, let him see what happens. Again, he's on his ELC. You can play him throughout the season, figure out if you have something with him, and then the worst, you can either trade in the offseason, you could trade his rights in the offseason to somebody, et cetera, et cetera. Like, you have some flexibility with him with what you want to do, right? And then that gives you two young goalies in Kapokakinen and then Lehkonen, and then you have Itu Makaniemi. That is a really tough pronunciation in the goalie room. But you have some goalies who are kind of young-ish, who have some growth and development to work through. So again, I don't know if he's ever going to be like a one or something like that, but I would be willing to take a chance on him, especially on a team that is, again, we don't expect the Sharks to be good this year. Let him kind of come here. There's not going to be as much pressure on it. You know, we know the Sabres are trying to win. Come to San Jose, nice and quiet. Come hang out for the season. See if you can kind of figure things out for yourself going forward. And then again, if it doesn't work out, who cares? You can trade him the offseason, right? You're taking swings. You keep taking swings on goalies until you find somebody. It's kind of like the old quarterback thing. You keep drafting or you keep trying guys until you can kind of find. What would it cost? That's interesting. I don't know. I mean, maybe a third round pick, maybe a fourth round pick for him. I know, like, his contract, et cetera. But it could be one of those things where, again, if the Sabres know they're going to be kind of swinging for, like, if they're going to be making a play for a bigger goalie, they might be just happy to kind of just move on and get kind of clear some space and clean up the goalie room. So this might be one of those where you kind of wait and see until after free agency, wait till the dust clears, and then you kind of like, hey guys, what's up with you know, what are you guys going to do with him? And then maybe you can kind of buy low type of situation for him. So then maybe you're looking at one of the 2024 picks, and like the Sharks don't have their third, fourth, or fifth rounder next year, which is weird, but they do have a fourth and fifth rounder. Like, they have Vegas' fourth rounder and Pittsburgh's fifth rounder. So maybe you're offering one of those mid-round picks and saying, hey guys, why don't we do one, see if we can do one of something like this to try to move on, or you know, try to see if you can get something out of that. So I forgot they traded Lane Peterson to the Coyotes for the 2024 fourth round pick. So, oh, Lane Peterson, what are you up to? And then the fifth round pick, oh, that's part of the Bonino. So that's at least who I look at for the goalies. So next, going to look at a defenseman. And I know what you're thinking. You're like, why would the Sharks trade for a defenseman? Especially a left-handed defenseman who I'm going to advocate for here right now. And that is Matt Grzelcyk. So he is a left-handed defenseman for the Boston Bruins. Has 1 year left on his $3.69 million deal. Last season played 75 games, had 4 goals, 22 assists, 102 shots on goal. 17-14 average time on ice. Corsi 4, 51.45. Goals for 70 points, a ridiculous 70%. So that means he was, every time he was on the ice, the Bruins scored 70% of the goals. Why would you trade for him? So here's why. He's really good. So 67th percentile offensively, played in 63 percentile defensively, played between the second pair, first pair defensive minutes. He is a guy that I think you count, you trade for, and then you can, he's 29. He's kind of at, you know, still in his prime here. You can trade for him and then either A, flip him at the deadline, because we know teams are always looking for good defenders at the deadline. Grzelcyk is a good, good defender. B, you can re-sign him if you want, type of thing. So why would the Bruins get rid of this? The Boston Bruins are in a tough spot when it comes to the cap, right? So going into next year, they have 14 contracts and about $6 million worth of space heading into next year with, you know, we don't know what's happening with Patrice Bergeron. They got to re-sign Trent Frederick. They've got a bunch of guys going, you know, they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They have 7 forwards signed and 6 defensemen. You have Jeremy Swayman who needs a new contract. Like they have a lot of work to do. There's talk of potentially guys like Trent Taylor Hall on the trade market. Like there's gonna be a lot of changes in Boston. And I feel like same thing with Grzelcyk. You could acquire him. Maybe it probably going to cost you a little bit more to acquire him. But I think if you acquire him, he's your second best defenseman behind right away. He's your second best defenseman behind Erik Karlsson. And I know he's left-handed. But two, then that I know there's a logjam there. You can either trade him at the trade deadline. He has no trade clauses or anything like that. Or you can just have a good defenseman. And the Sharks, while they have a lot of defensemen, they don't have a lot of good ones. You could say Erik Karlsson, good defenseman. He scores, right? Matt Benning, pretty solid defensively. Vlasic had a bounce back year. We like Henry Thrun, but like a lot of the other guys are kind of question marks. And Mario Ferraro is... I've talked about Mario Ferraro plenty of times. Grzelcyk would be your second best defenseman and probably your best defensive defenseman on the team. And I know the Sharks need good players at this point. So, yes, I know he's a little bit older, 29, but he's got 1 year left. And you can, again, go into the season, see how things fit, see how it works out. And then worst case scenario is he walks at free agency, you tried it out, or you trade him at the trade deadline if he says, I'm not going to resign. Type of thing. So I think it's a good bet to take. He's also from the Boston area, so there's that, you know, how that works out. But I think that's a good bet to take. I know the contract's a little pricey at 3.69, but the Sharks do have some cap space. They've got about almost $15 million of cap space, and they don't have a lot of guys they have to really worry about, at least not a lot of big ticket guys they have to worry about this offseason. So they will have some spending power if they want. So you know, we know Boston is missing some pieces, you know, especially with the draft capital. I don't know. Maybe you throw. I would try to maybe package up maybe a mid-round pick and throw a prospect their way type of situation. So maybe it's a Brandon Coe or something like that, because again, we know their prospect pipeline is hurting. They don't have any draft picks, so maybe you kind of throw something like that their way. Brandon Coe is a cheap contract that they can, you know, for the next couple of years. Again, it doesn't have to be Brandon Coe. I just picked Brandon Coe's name out of the hat. So before we end up with the forward who I would try to trade for, do want to take a quick break. Talk to you guys about one of our new friends over at Bird Dogs. If you guys haven't checked out Bird Dogs, they are the most comfortable shorts I own. They sent me a couple pairs, and they're the perfect, perfect Saturday shorts. If you need shorts that are fit you right, super, super comfortable. And when I say comfortable, like you could sleep in these shorts. Versatile, whatever you're doing, right? My normal Saturday, soccer in the morning, then we're usually running around Costco, Target, doing all that stuff. And then like I'm cooking, you know, at the bar, like barbecuing. Sometimes we go to the brewery, like bunch of stuff. Like that's the normal suburban dad life. Bird Dogs has me covered. The stretchy fabric, they look good. My wife says my butt looks good in them. So if she says they look good, then I mean, I don't know what else to tell you right there. So you got to go check these out, especially with summer coming up, the war getting much better weather. You want to show off the legs. The great thing about it, they have a bunch of different sizes. I go with the longer inseam because I'm a little old school like that, and I don't want you know, to show off the thighs as much. But if you like to do that, they got the shorter inseams. They have the underwear built in, which is pretty crazy. I like it though. It took a little bit to get used to, but again, you don't have to worry about like that chafing, if you know what I mean. So go check out Bird Dogs. Go to birddogs.com/lockedonNHL and enter the promo code LockedOnNHL. We'll throw you a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti style tumbler with every order. Again, go to birddogs.com/lockedonNHL. Check out all their shorts. They feel really good, guys. I promise you. All right, the last player I would try to trade for if I was Mike Greer, Jack Roslovic. So forward out of Columbus, 1 year, $4 million left on his contract. Last year played 77 games, had 11 goals, 33 assists, 123 shots on goal. Average ice time was 16.27. Corsi 4, 43.53. Goals 4, 46.51. Not the most impressive numbers, right? And especially when you look at his fancy stats from last year, fifth percentile overall. He played second line minutes, 35th percentile offensively, third percentile defense. Not impressive at all. Why would you do this, JD? Why would Columbus do this? One, Columbus, I talked to Jay from Locked On Blue Jackets. His words were, they're afraid to have more than 2.5 centers on the team. Fair. He's 26, right? Like he's kind of entering that, like this is the best you're going to get from him. But I think Roslovic is a perfect, perfect buy low candidate for the Sharks. Let's look at his numbers from the 2021-2022 season. 68th percentile playing first line minutes, 74th percentile for offense, 41st percentile defense. Columbus was bad last year. We know they were worse than the Sharks. Offensively, terrible team, couldn't do much. You know, struggled with creating offense on a consistent basis. But Roslovic was one of the little bright spots where you could see his ability to create those high danger chances. And we know that's what the Sharks are about, right? Creating the high danger chances. They're one of the top teams in the NHL at creating high danger chances. And Roslovic, I think, could fit into that system. He also had a career worst shooting percentage. So even though he scored 11 goals last year, his shooting percentage was his career worst. One up right now. I had it, and then I think he shot about 8% last year, while on average he's been in like the 11 or 12%. So 4% that in a shooting percentage, that's huge type of situation. That's a massive drop off for a guy like that. Also, he's right-handed. The Sharks, just, other than Kevin LeBlanc, have like no right-handed shots on their team. He has gives you center wing flexibility. If you need a guy to play, you know, if, you know, LeBlanc, or not LeBlanc, if Couture gets hurt, if Hurdle gets hurt, if Nico Sturm gets hurt, if Lawrence gets hurt, he can slide in and play center for you while you, if you need it. Gives you some flexibility there. And again, it's 1 year, $4 million. He has no restrictions on his trade, on his contract. So if you want to try to, if again, if he's not working out, if he has a great season and you feel like you're not going to be able to re-sign him, you can flip him at the trade deadline, try to get something back, eat part of that, you know, eat $2 million of that contract, to send him to a team that could potentially want to gain some assets for later. Or again, he's 25, 26, like he could still be a useful player for the Sharks going forward as your kind of third line center. And if you want to move, if Roslovic's your third line center, then you move Nico Sturm to the fourth line. Like that's a pretty solid one, you know, one through four, at least down the middle with Hurdle, Couture, Roslovic, and Sturm. And then you have Lorenz who can play, you know, wing or center. Like you have some flexibility with there. So I think last year was a dip and more of an anomaly compared to what we have seen from Roslovic. I know he's been traded, you know, he's kind of bounced around between the win, between the Jets and then Columbus. And I don't know why he's not, but he is on the Athletics potential trade candidate. I didn't just come up with Roslovic out of it. He is on their list of guys to keep an eye on. So I would 1000% trade for him. I don't know what's going to cost you. Again, maybe it's a pick and a prospect type of thing. Who knows? But he's a bet I would – I think last year was an anomaly, at least when it comes to scoring. He still put up, you know, 44 points on a super bad team last year. I know the contract's $4 million. Again, the Sharks do have a little bit of space, and I think Roslovic is a – he's young enough where he can still be a contributor to you going forward. And he's also good enough where I think that you could be a potential buy low type of candidate for him and then kind of just see how things go. So you can't do all of these deals, but, you know, Matt Murray, I think, makes a ton of sense as a buy low candidate. You know, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, potential guy who just may not fit, right? Grizzlick, he is a guy where you could, you know, potentially keep him or – You're trying to take advantage of a team that's in a tough spot. And Roslovic, I think, is a guy who's just a good player who could be a good asset to the Sharks going forward. So those are the four guys that I would potentially trade for if I was general manager Mike Greer, but I'm not. So none of these are probably going to happen anyway. But it's always fun to talk about trades anyway. So we will be back tomorrow. Our good friend Josh Tesler is going to be joining for another edition of Mid-Round Madness. So we're going to be talking about guys in the kind of the late third, fourth, fifth round kind of picks for the Sharks. Guys that he likes in that area. That just to kind of get some names out there because we spend so much time focusing on the top of the draft, which we should, right? But we want to get some guys who might be available for the Sharks. Some mid-round guys. That way you can kind of sound smart when your friends, if you're watching the draft with your friends and one of these guys get picked, he's like, oh, that guy's good. So you always want to sound smart around your friends. But so yeah, we'll be back tomorrow. Make sure you guys are following along wherever you get podcasts. Again, if you want to be an everydayer, subscribe, Apple, Spotify, wherever, or watch on YouTube. You can follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Locked On Sharks. You can follow me on Twitter at My Fry Hole. Until tomorrow, bye, friends.